Okay, today's daf is Chulin Daf Yud Aleph. Today's shiur is sponsored anonymously. Le'ilu Nishmas Moshe Yehuda ben Menachem, whose yard site is on Shabbos, Zayin Tammuz, the fourth yard site. We very much thank the anonymous sponsor, HaChafetz Be'ilim Shemo. A lot of Hakar Satov to the sponsor. Okay, today is Chulin Daf Yud Aleph. Yesterday we did a daf about Chazaka. We're not yet done with Chazaka. Today's daf has one topic and one topic only, and that is going to be the topic of Rov, trying to find the source for how we know that you follow Rov in the Torah. So we left off yesterday in discussing Chazaka. We left off Tanya de lo kravacha bar Yaakov, I think, in the third wide line, right? Is that correct? I think so. Tanya de lo kravacha bar Yaakov. So Ravacha bar Yaakov said, let's go back a little bit, just what was going on. The Gemara wanted to know how we know that you go basa chazaka. So Shmuel ben Achmeni said, name Rabbi Yonasan. Oh, simple. It's from when a Kohen looks at a house that has tzaras, so he goes out and he soger the bayis for 7 days. Well, how does he know that at the time that he closes up the house, that the shear of tzaras is still there? Maybe it's not there anymore by the time he's closing the door. So it must be that since he saw it 5 seconds ago and it had the shear, so mistama, the chazaka is that it still has the shear. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov challenged that. He said, how do you know that? Maybe he's yatza derech achorav, dekachazi lekinafak. Maybe he walked out backwards and therefore he saw it while he walked out, and therefore it's not a chazaka at all. So the Gemara is going to bring a raya to a Raisa that's the lo kravacha bar Yaakov, as Rashi points out, damar de lo mukiach cheskasa. Ravacha bar Yaakov is the one that didn't. It says we don't follow chazaka when it comes to the bias. Ela biyatsa derech achorav the chazi le'at chas hesker. Rather, we're talking about a case the Kohen walks out backwards and therefore he sees it. The hacha katani, because in this brisa we're going to say shim halach lebeso v'hiskiro heskero hesker, that even if the Kohen goes back home and is soger the bayis with some sort of long string or something that that's tied to the door of the bayis, so he goes all the way back home and yanks the string and closes the house, so it's going to be considered sagur v'achavada yichsi negamine umukmile chazake. And clearly, obviously, in that case, he doesn't see the nega at the time that he soger the bayis, and nevertheless, we still assume that it's a valid skira sabayis, that it's still going to be chazaka, that the nega remained intact at the time that he soger the bayis. That's going to be the raya. So let's see the brisa. Tanya de lo kravacha bar Yaakov. We have a brisa against Ravacha bar Yaakov. I might think he could go into his house and be soger. Talmud lomar el pesach habayis. That's why it says el pesach habayis. He's got to still be by the doorway of the house that has tzaras. I might think he could stand under the mashkof of the house and close it off, the awning. Tamalomar min habayis, atche yetzim min habayis kulo. He can't be standing under any protrusions that come from the front door of the house. He has to be completely outside of the house. Hakeitzad. Omid b'tzad ha-mashkof u'maskir. He stands next to the mashkof and he's maskir. U'minayin shim halach l'toch beis u'v'hiskir. O sha'amad b'toch beis u'v'hiskir sh'eskero muskir. So that's the mitzvah l'chachila. But how do I know that b'di'eved, even if he goes all the way home and he has some sort of system set up where he's able to, like we said before, have a string attached to the doorknob of the house that he's being soger and yank the string. Let's say he lives right across the street or nearby, so he's able to pull the string from all the way inside of his house and close the house. How do I know that that does count? That is a hesker. Tamaloma v'hiskir sabayis mikol makom. Pasuk says v'hiskir sabayis, so that implies mikol makom. However he may do it, lechatchila there's a certain way to do it, but however he may do it, that works. So that's the brisa. It seems to be against Rav Acha bar Yaakov, because Rav Acha bar Yaakov says no, we don't rely on any chazaka at the time that he's soger the house. He needs to still see the nega the entire time. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Rav Acha bar Yaakov will simply respond kigon dekaimi dora degavri, that maybe there's a whole row of people between the bias and where the Kohen is that are verifying that the nega is unchanged, that the nega is still intact. They're saying, yeah, the way you left it, the nega is still exactly the same. If you look at Rashi, that wherever the Kohen is, he has a series of people that are there telling him, one telling the next, and the next telling him, a whole line of people, till the word gets back to him that it's still fully intact. Says Tosos, wait a second, what do you need a series of people? Just have one guy there. All you need is one guy staring at the nega from right right outside the bayis, as the Kohen is yanking that string that's going to pull the door closed. Why do you need a whole row of guys? So it says to us, yeah, we could have said that. V'rosh lo chaser, ela rotza lefarish ba'osu inyan shafa Kohen atzmo ha'yachal leida. The Gemara would prefer to give an example where even the Kohen himself at the time that he's pulling the door shut could know that that the nega remains intact, that it hasn't gotten smaller. So the only way word is going to get back to him at that moment is if you have a group of people, a row of people. But if you have only one person, then only that one person is going to know at the moment. He might be able to tell the Kohen later, but at the time the Kohen is not going to know. That's the only reason the Gemara sets up such an unusual case. Okay, that is the end of Chazaka. Now the entire daf today, some dapim are hard to title if you come up with like what's the topic of the daf, because there are multiple topics. There is only one topic in today's daf. That is the topic of Rov. The Gemara raises the question right here in the second line of the daf, and the rest of the daf gives 10 sources for how we know that you follow Rov. 10 possible sources. So says the Gemara, Minoha Milsadam Rabbanan Zil Basaruba. Where did the Rabbanan get the idea? Where is how do we know this, that the Rabbanan always say that you follow Rov? Where do we ever find such a thing? Frek Tosfos, Vim Tomar, Kivin Damrinan Zil Basar Chazaka, Kolshkin Basar Ruba, Rub of Chazaka Ruba Adif. Well, if you know that Rub of Chazaka Ruba Adif, and you have a source Midaraisa that you follow Chazaka, like we just said, there's a source Midaraisa that you follow Chazaka, so shouldn't that, by a Kal V'chomer, tell you that you follow Rov? Do you need a source? If you know that Rov is better than Chazaka, and you have a source to tell you to follow Chazaka, so Rub of Chazaka Ruba Adif. Maybe the whole shaila is only according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, because again Rav Acha bar Yaakov said that pasuk didn't teach us chazaka, that you're not allowed to rely on the chazaka by the Kohen. He has to be looking at the nega the entire time. So maybe this whole daf is only within the sheet of Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Ulamaydu mefarish Rabbeinu Chaim the hadar ruba adav mechazaka lo misvara. Lo yalfinan misvara, lo yalfinan mipara aduma, dazlin basaruba, afal gav diika chazaka keneged harov, duki gavra shemazanov becheskas tamei osi shapir hacha. If you say, like Rabbeinu Chaim, that the idea that ruba is better than a chazaka is not learnt out misvara, so it's not a kal v'chomer, it's learnt out from a pasuk, well then we need an initial source to teach me that rov means something in the first place in order to establish this idea of ruba v'chazaka. Now, in terms of what the word rov means, so Rav Shachter points out in his third sefer, in Ginas Egos, Simen Tes Zayin, that there are chamisha suge rov, that there are actually five types of rov. So we're using the term rov generally, but it might be kedai to pay attention by each of the 10 suggested sources what kind of rov each of these sources really fits into. There are five types of rov, and they have halachic nafkaminas between them, and they are as follows. Going from lowest to highest. The lowest form of rov is what we would call a rov garua, 51%. Not a very strong rov. A 51% rov, where we say, in that case, we would say, ruba v'chazaka, lav ruba adif. That a rov and a chazaka, the rov is not better than the chazaka, because the whole reason ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif, the whole reason the rov is considered better than a chazaka, is because rov is considered to be a mevarer, where chazaka is considered to be a hanhaga. Rov is considered to answer the question, what is this? Chazaka doesn't answer any questions, it's just, what do I do? So this is what you do. You're allowed to rely on chazaka, and proceed accordingly, but it doesn't really answer the metzius of what it is. So you're only allowed to be somich on a hanhaga when there is no birur, but when you have a mevarer, so then you're not allowed to rely on a hanhaga. But when do we say rov is a mevarer? That's only by a rov bari, that's only by a strong rov. But a rov garua is only a din hanhaga, memel it's not going to be any better than chazaka. That is type 1 rov. Type 2 of rov is what we'd call a rov bari, where it is a strong enough rov to be considered a birur, that it's considered to be something that's mevarer, not just a anhaga. 70%, 80%, something like that. Based on Tos Kiddushin, Daf Pei Amud Aleph, that there is such a concept, that's where we say rubu v'chazaka ruba adif, by a rov bari. Third type of rov, lemala mizeh, is a rov that's yoser bari, that's an even stronger rov, where the miut is that goes against the rov is so weak, it's what we would call a miut she'eno matzui. It's a very uncommon miut. What's a miut she'eno matzui? So the Mishkan Yaakov famously has a geder of 10%. That anything less than 10%, is a miut she'eno matzui. So Rav Shechter quotes in a footnote over here from Rav Eliashiv, that Rav Eliashiv holds 7.5%. Anything less than 7.5% is a miut she'eno matzui. Whatever the gather is, right around that area, when you're in the 90-95% range of rov, so that is a stronger rov. What's the nafkamina ladina between a rov bari and a rov that has a miut she'eno matzui against it, between, let's say, a 75% rov and a 95% rov? So the nafkamina between them is based on the Chidushi Aran right here in our sugya that's quoted in Lahalach and Shulchan Aruch, that whenever you have the ability to be mevarit, to check and see if let's say you shechted an animal and you don't know if it's a treifa or not, can you say, well, rova the animals aren't a treifa? Let's say krum shel moach, the membrane around the brain may be punctured and maybe not. Do I have to check every animal I shecht? Well, what are the incidents of that happening? If it's, let's say, a 2% chance, well, then there's no need to check, because the rove is such an overwhelming rove. It is a rove, it is a miut she'eno matzui, that it's going to be a problem. But if it's a 12% chance, like by the lungs, let's say, where it might be 10% or higher, or at least 7.5% or higher, that's why we check the lungs for trefos. That's always the gather when you have to check, when you don't have to check. Now, that chilek is really only a chilek mita rabbanan. The chilek mita oraisa, Rav Shechter points out, might be the case of the Gemara Pesachim Dav Chesam and Beis, where the Gemara says that shluchei mitzvah ein nizakin. If you're going to do a mitzvah, you're not going to be damaged. But heicha d'shchiach hazeka shayni, that if damage is very common, then you can't rely on being a shluchei mitzvah. What do we call common? What's called shchiach hazeka? So it could be that shchiach is the same as mira matzui, that the gedder of shchiach is 10%. That is the third type of rov. Type 4 of Rove is the Gemara at the beginning of Gittin, that even Rav Meir's Choshesh Lemiyuta, that even by a Miyut She'eno Matzui, even by a less than 10% chance, Rav Meir's Choshesh Lemiyuta, but a Miyuta de Miyuta, even Rav Meir is going to be moda that we're not choshish for a miyuta de miyuta, for a very tiny percentage. So that's we're going to see that today in Tosfos on Amud Beis about whether we paskin like Rav Meir or not. We don't. We're not choshish the miyuta. But nevertheless, there's still enough gemina ladina in regards to being motzi mamon al pi rov, because we paskin like Shmuel that you don't follow rov by dina mamonis, right? Ein holchin b'mamon achar rov. But Rabbi Kiveger in his Tshuvas in Tinyana Simur Kuv Gimel Os Tezvav writes that if it's a rove bari, it's a very strong rove, that you only have a miyuta de miyuta against it, then we're not going to be choshish for that miyut, and therefore you're going to be able to be motzi mamon against that rove. And then the fifth type of rove is, not only is it a strong rove that it's not even a 1% chance against it, it's not even a echad minei elef rove. It's a 1 in 1,000. It's a It's such a small percentage that the average person doesn't even concern himself with such percentages. I'm not going to say that it's a suffix sakana to cross the street, because every once in a while someone crossing the street gets hit by a car, because it's such a miyuche, it doesn't even cross my mind when I'm crossing the street that I'm going to get hit by a car. It's a echad minei elef. It's 1 in 1,000 that's going to happen. It's not normal to even think about that possibility. So in such situations, even though generally speaking we have a rule that ein holchin b'pikuach nefesh achar rov, that you don't follow rov when it comes to pikuach nefesh, we're always very cautious with pikuach nefesh, but when it's echad minei elef, when it's a 1 in 1,000 or less, then even by pikuach nefesh we would follow the rov. That's according to the Chassam Sofer, that would be against the Chuvus Maram Shik. Rav Shechter points out in Yardei Reish Mem Dalid, Maram Shik talks about Metzitza, and the Maram Shik says, why did they do Metzitza originally? So we think of Metzitza as the thing that endangers the child. They thought of Metzitza as the thing that saves the child, that Metzitza is, they did it for health reasons. They thought they needed to do Metzitza for health reasons. So Maram Shik says, I don't care that the doctors tell you that it doesn't really do anything for the child, and that it's only Echad Min Elef, that there's ever going to be a problem. You still need to do mitzitza because it's pikuach nefesh. So the Maram Shik obviously holds, even echad minei elef, we would were to say ein ochem b'koach nefeshachar rov, but most of the poskim assume like some sofer that an echad mina elef situation we wouldn't follow rov. Why does Rav Shechta discuss this in Ginas Ego? So the article is about kashrus dag hatuna shebekufsaot, whether you can eat tuna fish. What's the concern? That maybe there are several concerns. One of them is that maybe some trefa fish come in, they have these massive nets that they catch thousands and thousands of fish. They don't check each and every single one, so there might be a concern that there's going to be some trefa fish that gets mixed in. So he says you have to look, what are the chances? If it's an echad mine elef kind of situation, then we're not even goreis it as a rov versus miyad. It's not even meaning if on 1,000 trips out, they maybe on one of those trips out where they pull in the nets, there might be one fish in there. So then we're not even goreis it as a situation that you need to be mvarer. So those are the five kinds of rov. So now let's see the 10 makoros for how we know you follow rov. So says the Gemara, how do I know you follow rov? Minalan d'chsev achri rab nahatos. It says beferish in the pasuk achri rab nahatos. So Gemara said no, that doesn't count. That doesn't count as number one, because ruba di isa kaman kigon teska nuyas v'sanhedrin lo kam ibayilan. When you're dealing with the Ruba di Isa Kaman, with a rov that's right in front of you, meaning you have 9 stores selling Basar Shchuta and 1 store selling Basar Nevela, and you find a piece of meat in front of the stores. So the fact that you can assume it comes from a store that sells Basar Shchuta is because you can count the stores. 1, 2, 3, 4. Anything that's a rov that's right in front of you, so then that's not a Shaila. By Sanhedrin, Achrem Lahatos said by the Sanhedrin, that if you have 12 judges that vote Lizchus and 11 that vote Lechova, so the guy gets off the hook. That we follow the majority of judges. That's the example Rashi gives. It's interesting. Rashi doesn't give the reverse example. 12 lechova and 11 lezchus, because it happens to be lahalacha. We wouldn't follow that rov. If it's 12 lechova, you need a 2-person majority in order to win a dinin nefashas case lechova. In order to go lechova on a dinin nefashas case. But anyway, so that's by Sanhedrin. You can count the judges. That's a ruba di isa kaman. Not that you could literally count the judges, you're probably not allowed to count Jews, but nevertheless, you know, the rov is right in front of you. But a ruba de lesa kaman, that's what we're what our whole shaila is. So we're just framing the question. What's an example of that? Kigon katanu katana. Like an example of katanu katana. The Rashi points out, this is referring to Yavamist of Samach Aleph, where a Yavam katan, that's Ba'al Yavama katana, Yigadu ze'im ze'. Let's say it's before they're fully physically mature. Now, if the Yavama is an islandist, then it will turn out that this did not fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum, because the whole point is to be Megadal Zera, and she's not going to ever be able to have children. If the Katan turns out to be a Sris when he fully matures, it will turn out that this was not a valid act of Yibum. So what about all the other wives of the brother that were able to go free because they assumed Yibum was done? Now you could follow the Rov. Most children don't turn out to be an islandist. Most children don't turn out to be a Sris. You can follow the Rov. But that you don't. It's not that we count up a number of people and say, oh, 9 out of 10 of them are not an islandist and not a Sris. It's a Ruba de Lesa Kaman. It's just a Metzius in the Velt. That's the way it is. That it's a Ruba de Lesa Kaman. What's the chilik between a Ruba de Lesa Kaman and a Ruba de Isa Kaman? Why is it that it's so pashut that a Ruba de Isa Kaman we would follow of Ruba de Lesa Kaman we wouldn't? So in Shirei Arav on page Yudalim and Tesvav, if you remember, we had the Machlokas Abaye and Rava, when you have a Shchita of a Kuti and you have a person who's Yotze, a Jew, who's Yotze v'nichnas, as the Kuti is doing Shkita. So is that good enough or not? So Abaye said, not good enough. So we had 2 deos and tosos back then. When we say it's not good enough, does that mean even b'di'eved, it wouldn't be kosher if you had a yotzei v'nichnas? So the second day in tosos, that b'di'eved, Abaye would say it's kosher, even when it's yotzei v'nichnas, it's just that you're not allowed to rely on that l'chadchila. If you have a yotzei v'nichnas, you also need to cut out a kezayis and give it to him to taste, to see if he was willing to put his money where his mouth is, to eat it himself. That's what you would have to do. And what's the svara? The svara is that yotzei v'nichnas is enough to create a rov. When it's like every other Ruba de Lesa Kaman. And Abaye holds that Rov, a Ruba de Lesa Kaman, is not a Mevarer. It doesn't clarify what the Metzius is. It's a Hanhaga when you have no other choice and you need to know what to do so you can follow Ruba de Lesa Kaman. But if you have an ability to be Mevarer, so then you need to be Mevarer on a Ruba de Lesa Kaman. So that's how Rav Shechter or the Rav Salvation explained the difference between Ruba de Lesa Kaman and Ruba de Lesa Kaman in the Gemara. When we say that we follow Kala Ruba Delesa Kaman Benefashos, like the Gemara is going to say over here, that the, one of the sources of Ruba Delesa Kaman is a person who kills his father, who hits his father, is Chayiv Misa. But how do you know it's your father? Maybe it was just the man who was married to your mother at the time you were born, but you don't, you never really know who your father is without genetic testing or whatever else. So the idea that we're going to follow, even by Pikuach Nefesh, that we're going to follow such a rov, he says that's because Ruba De'isa Kaman is different than Ruba De'lesa Kaman in the basic fundamental way that it works. Ruba De'lesa Kaman, assuming it's a strong rov, is Mevarer the Maisa and Mesalik the Suffolk. You no longer have a Suffolk, it's a Birur. A Ruba De'isa Kaman, no matter how strong a rov it is not a Mevarer, it's Machriya had to be Noheg. It's an Haga. So by Dina Nefashos, a Hachra'a, an Haga, is not going to be good enough. Anyway, so that's the chiluk between Ruba De'isa Kaman and Ruba De'lesa Kaman. So how do we know that a Ruba De'lesa Kaman that you could follow Rov? So source number one, we're going to have 10, as we said. Number one, Amr of Lazar. The head of a carbon ola, you're supposed to cut up a carbon ola into its parts. You're supposed to cut up the carbon ola into its various parts, but each of the parts should not then be subdivided into smaller parts. So basically, one of the parts is the head. Apparently, you're not supposed to cut open the head to examine further. But if you don't examine further, maybe there was a trefa on the brain of the animal. If you don't examine further and cut open the head to find out, how you know if the animal was a trefa or not? So you see that you're following Rove, that they don't have a trefa in the brain. So you see that you follow Rove. Mara says, not a good source. Mimai. Dilma de palilei ubadaklei. Maybe the situation is that you rip it open a little bit, but not in a way that you pull it apart. You just peel off enough that you're able to see inside without totally pulling it into two different pieces. Because the whole problem of subdividing the various parts of the carbon ola is only if you chop them up. But if you just open it up a little bit in a way that it's still going to be connected, that's not an isser with the carbon ola. You're allowed to do that. So therefore, it could be that you do examine for trephas on the brain. Maybe one in fact would have to examine. Fractosos, wait a second, I have a different idea. Just as there are 10 suggestions in the Gemara of how we know we follow Rov, if you look around Rishonim and Achronim, there are at least another dozen suggestions of why didn't the Gemara say this one or that one? Why didn't the Gemara say that we follow Rov? So here's one of them. Fractosos, Makshin, Amailo Yalof Mikol Karbanos Tadachu Shabbos. The fact that you're allowed to shech the carbon on Shabbos. V'lo chayshinon shami yimatzei carbon treifa v'nimtzei shchil Shabbos. What if the animal turns out to be a treifa? Then it will turn out that it wasn't a valid carbon. You're mechal Shabbos for no reason. Shchitas aser on Shabbos. B'makom that you're not actually being yotzei carbon. The mitzvah of bringing a carbon. So the very fact that we allow shchit on Shabbos tells you that you follow Rov. So says no. V'nir li de'en yoch lochiach misham dikel meimer demisafik nami amar achmana delitchi Shabbos mitzvahs karban. K'moshav b'kuach nefesh amir misaf harakam duksubas de'lo halchu ba'achar Rov. It could be that the nature of the din that you're supposed to bring a karban on Shabbos is to follow Rov in that situation. That even in b'makom safek, even if it's not b'makom safek, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos for a karban. That's just the very nature of the din. But that's not going to be a raya to all situations that you're always allowed to follow Rov. So source number two says the Gemara. Mar Bered Ravina Amar Asya Mishviras Etzem BePesach. We learn it out from the Isser of breaking bones on a Karban Pesach. Damar Rachmana Pasuk says the Etzem Losish Beruvo, that you should not break a bone on the Karban Pesach. So shouldn't we, if you don't break the bones, how are you going to be able to check for all the trephas, especially inside the skull, to see what's doing with the brain? Isn't it because we're allowed to follow the Rov? So says Gemar, no, mimai, dilma demanach gumrasa ali kalilei, v'kalilei ubadiklei. Maybe you put it on top of hot coals, and you roast the head to the point that all the externals peel off, and that the bone matter disintegrates a little bit, so that you're able to see the brain. So it's not shvira setzem. You're just burning a little bit more. You char it to the point where you're going to be able to see inside, but you're not going to be in violation of breaking. But maybe you taka do have to check inside. Frek tells us, what if it's Shabbos? What if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos? You're allowed to do that. Vafil chal Erev Pesach lios b'Shabbos melacha shi'ef shalosos me'Erev Shabbos dochas Shabbos. But the halacha is anything involved with a korban that you're allowed to bring on Shabbos, a melacha that you could not do from Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to do for that korban on Shabbos. Now, obviously, the animal is alive Erev Shabbos. There's no way you're going to be able to char its head to be able to look at its brain before Shabbos. So, therefore, that would be dochas Shabbos. D'tanya mechatech begid back in the Gemara. D'tanya mechatech begidim asoreif ba'atzamos. Burning bones is not breaking bones. Burning bones is okay. That's not a violation of Shvira Setzem, the Korban Pesach. Okay, so far both sources failed. Source number three, how do I know that you follow Rov? Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Asya Me Alya, from the tail of the Korban. Damar Rachman, Chelbo Ha'alya Tamima, V'leich Hashem and Nifsaka Chuta Shidra. Shouldn't you be choshish that maybe the spine is broken, the spinal column is broken, that makes it a trefa? The fact that you don't check for that and you leave the aliyah intact shows that we follow the rov. And if you're going to say that you cut it near the tail, where even if it was nifsa kachut on the tail, the behemoth would not be trefa. No, but it says that from the makam of the klayos of the kidneys. So mimai dilma the pasuk lo badakla, says the Gemara, how do I know you didn't open it up and check it afterwards? You're going to say no, but it needs to remain intact. Yeah, it needs to remain intact that you can't chop it up into pieces. But if you leave it basically connected, you're allowed to open it up to check the spinal column. So maybe we're assuming you open it up to check the spinal column, make sure that it's intact. Okay, so source number three failed. Source number four. Rav Sheshes Bred Rav Yidi Amar Asya Me Egla Arufa. We learn it out from Egla Arufa. Damar Rachmana Ha Arufa. What do we learn from the Hey of Ha Arufa? Tos points out we learn other things throughout Shas from Ha Arufa, but we're assuming for whatever reason we're allowed to learn this too. Kishi Shleima Tehavi. The Egla Arufa needs to be intact. It needs to be complete. Shouldn't you be choshish that it's a trefa? Must be that we're following Rove. That you don't assume it's a trefa. And if you're going to say Mainaf Gamina, so Ha'amri Dvei Rabbi Yaakov, meaning who cares if it's a trefa? Why does a trefa matter on Egla Arufa? It's not a karban. So the Gemara says Ha'amri Dvei Rabbi Yaakov Kaparik Sivva Kikachim. It has a din of a karban. Since the word kapara is used in connection with the Egla Arufa, we treat it like a karban. So says Gemara, suggestion number five. Rabbi Barbashila Amar Asya Mi Para Aduma. We learn out the din of Rov from Para Aduma. Damar Rachman v'Shachet v'Saraf. The pasuk says you should shecht it and burn it. Mashkitas k'shi shlema, afstreifas k'shi shlema. Just like the shechita is when it's complete, so to the streif of the Para Aduma is when it's complete. It's intact. It's one full unit. You burn the whole body at once. Obviously, you didn't rip it open to check for treifos. So v'leichosh duma treifa hiba. It might be a treifa. Alam yishum d'amin zil basaruba. Must be that you're allowed to follow rov to not look for the treifos. So v'chitei m'may nafkamina. If you'll say, well, wait a second, who says the paradum is not allowed to be a trefa? Paradum is not a carbon. You burn it for the ashes to be able to mix it with the mayim chayim and then to sprinkle on some of the stame meis. Not a carbon. Answer Gemara, chatos kar yirachmana. The Torah calls it a chatos, so it has a status of a carbon. Frektosos asim miparadum avim tomar kivin de parabash te shanim im kein dilma hainu mishum du ukmea chazaka shein a trefa lemandim a trefa in a chaya. Well, we know for sure when this animal is born it's not a trefa, because the para aduma has to be a 2-year-old animal, and a trefa, the rule with the definition of trefa, is an animal that dies within 12 months. So we know when it was born it definitely wasn't a trefa because it survived to its second year. So maybe it's based on the chazaka, it's not based on rov, it's based on a chazaka that we know it was once not a trefa. So who's to say it became a trefa? Umiyu kan yisham dika chazaka acheres connected them at tamei al cheskaso avu kaman diolv meidem zom and kasha. Now the truth is over here you could easily get around that problem by saying that there's a counter chazaka, because the tamei person who's getting sprinkled the efer paraduma on him has a cheskas tuma, so there's a counter chazaka that he's tamei. So maybe you would ignore the chazakos in this case, but he says we'll see from meidem zom in this tako good kasha that you know that once the animal wasn't a trefa, so maybe. Maybe why don't we look at that chazaka as opposed to the rov? So it says, tells us a big yesod. V'yesh lomar, dekol chazaka shelo nizbarura, v'lo noda afilu shoa achas, lo azlin basra. Any chazaka that has not been clarified and known to us for even a single moment, you don't follow such a chazaka. What does he mean by that? We do know this chazaka. We know the animal. The animal is 2 years old. So obviously, the chazaka is definite. It's not like what do you mean we don't follow such a... What is he talking about? That it's not nisbarra. What he means to say is, the way the Achronim understand, Rav Shachtel points out in one of his farim, I forgot which one, that the chazaka shalom nisbarra means that we never used the chazaka for a halacha. We were never able to say at any moment, at the time that it had that chazaka, that look, the animal is this. When the animal was born, we didn't know it wasn't a treifa. It's only looking backwards that we see that it wasn't a treifa. So the fact that the chazaka previously never existed until after, and that, meaning at the time that the chazaka was, at the time that it was, we didn't know that it was, so that's not a good enough chazaka. You're not allowed to use that as a chazaka. And he says, Yeshlumel mikach halach lemaisa, that if you make gavinos mikama behemos, you make cheese from different animals, v'achach nishkuta achas nimtzeis treifa, take the milk of different animals and you make cheese out of it, and then one of the animals turned out to be treifa, shekulam asuros. Aye, what about the chazaka that the animal that turned out to be treifa had a chazaka that it was kosher beforehand? No, the eli lamed parah chazkas of lomar hashtu dinitrefa. Such a chazaka is invalid because at the time of the chazaka we didn't know about it. So therefore the chazaka is invalid. Unbelievable chiddush of Tosfos. Okay, suggestion number six. Rav Acha bar Yaakov amar asim misir mishtaleach. No, you know how we know we fell at Rov? From the seir mishtaleach in Yom Kippur. Derachmana amar v'laka chashnei asirim shiushneim shavim. Pasuk says you take the two goats, the two have to be identical goats. Maybe one of them is a treifa. Must be that we follow Rov. So if you're going to say, well, who cares if the seer la'azazel is a treifa? It's not a carbon, you're throwing it off a cliff. What difference does it make if it's a treifa or not? No, the rule is that the only animal that's kosher to be a seer la'azazel is an animal that could have been ra'ui to be used as a seer la'ashem. And if you're going to say, well, maybe you check it for all treifas before you throw it off after you throw it off the cliff, you go down and you check it for all treifas, well, you're bound to find treifas after you threw it off the cliff, because we say when you throw it off the cliff, it's going to, halfway down, it's already going to be split up into Evarim, Evarim. It's going to completely fall apart. So it gets so battered and bruised and broken on the way down that, of course, it's going to be messed up. There's not, that's way too late to be Bodek after you threw it off the cliff. So that's why we can't say that you're going to be Bodek. Okay, so says the Gemara, source number. So again, so does this one work? So we said you follow the Rov, that you assume it's not a treifa, and there's no way to check. So apparently this one works, right? That you actually takadu follow the Rov. So source number 7, Rav Mari Amar Asya Mimaka Avivi Imo, that we learned from the halacha. This is the first one that's not treifa related, I think. All the other 6 sources, first one. How do we know you follow Rov? And Kol HaTarakula, and all we're talking about is Hilchas Treifas. Now finally we have one that's not treifa related. Rav Mari says we learn from Maka Avivi Imo, from the halacha that a person is maka of v'imo, he hits his father and mother, he's chayv misa, dom rachmana katle, the Torah says you kill the guy, v'leich ha'shul malav avivu, if he hits his father, how do you know that it's really his father? El lav mishum darmin zil basarub of rov b'ilos achar bal, it must be that you follow a rov, a ruba delasa kaman, that most of the b'ilos that a woman does are with her husband. So says the Gemara Mimai, dom lagon shayu av v'imo, chavushim beis ha'asurin, how do you know that it's a rov? Maybe the only case of maka aviv that you're going to be chayiv is a case where at the right around the time of your conception, your parents were locked up in a jail where it was only the two of them, and no other man had access to that jail cell. And that was the only situation that you're going to be chayiv from makav. So it's not rov; it's vadai. That's the only way that that the mother could have become pregnant. So says Gemara, filuachi en apetropos l'arayas. Unbelievable. Even though, as far as we know, no other man had access to there, en apetropos l'arayas. When someone wants it badly enough, you never know who's going to sneak in there. How it's going to work out. So it's still always a rov. It's still just following a rov. Tosfos asks a very fundamental question. What about the fact that there's a chazaka on the mother, the cheskas ha'em, that she's b'cheskas kashrus, that she's not going to be boel with somebody else? Maybe it's a chazaka that we're following there, not a rov. She's b'cheskas tzadekas, Tosfos says, right? B'cheskas tzadekas, that she's not going to be boel to other people when she's not going to be nivellas to other people when she has a husband. Okay, so source number 8 now. Rav Kahana Asya Mehorigas HaNefesh. We learned it from the fact that the Torah is Mechayiv Misa for someone who murders somebody. somebody else. Damar Rachmana Katle, we say you kill a murderer. Velecha Shulma Trefa Hava, or shouldn't we be choshish that maybe it was a trefa that he killed, and you're not chayv misa for killing a trefa, Allah Misham Damrin and Zil Basaruba. Must be that we assume you killed a guy that's walking down the street, looks perfectly healthy, so we assume that Rov, he's not a trefa. The Chitem of the Badkina, back to trefas, the Chitem of the Badkina lay, and if you're going to say, no, you check the body, after you check the dead body that he killed to see if it was a trefa, do an autopsy, how come a navel? You can't just do an autopsy, it's nivel ames. The Chitem Misham Ibn Nisham Dahain in Navle, maybe you'll say, look, you can't do an autopsy when there's no reason, but when someone else's life is at stake, the murderer, are we going to kill him? Are we not going to kill him? So it's important to do the autopsy in that case, so it's worth it. But you're still not going to know for sure, because it could be that in the exact place that he stuck the knife that he stabbed the fellow with, there was a nekev. There already was a pre-existing hole there, and the guy was a trefa, but there's no way to know. Of course there's a hole there now. He was stabbed in that spot. We'll see a very important tos over here if we have time afterwards. Well, let's just finish up the ten sources. So source number 9. Ravina Amar Asim Edom Zomim. We learn from Edom Zomim. Damrach Manav Asisim Lo Kasha Zabam. Torah says that we do to the Edom what they wanted to do, what they had planned to do to somebody else. V'leichosh to Mahachta Asidu Bei Trefa Hava. Maybe the guy that they were being made against was a trefa, and therefore they were only trying to kill a trefa. Allah Mishum Damrin Zil Basaruba. And therefore you can't do Kasha Zamam, because they tried to kill the trefa, so you can't kill the Edom for trying to kill regular people. So says Gemara, no, it must be that we follow Rov, and we don't assume it's a trefa. V'chi Tema Debat Kinalei, maybe you'll say, no, we'll check the body. V'tani Brevi Yomar Lo Hargu Ne'arog, and Hargu E'Ne'arog, and there is no body. Edom Zamam is only in a situation where they tried to get them killed, not where they actually got them killed. Lo hargu, if only if they didn't actually follow through, it didn't actually happen, that's when you could become Edom Zomim. But if it actually happened, they already killed the person based on the testimony of the original witnesses, then they can't become Edom Zomim. So you can't check the body because there is no body. The person is alive still. So you can't cut him open to check to see if he's a trefa. So source number 10 now, final source for how we know that we follow Rov. Rav Ashi Omar Asim Mishkita Atzma. We learn from Shkita itself. Dom Rachman Shchot V'achol, that you shechted and you're allowed to eat an animal. V'lecha shema b'makom nekev kashachit. Maybe the exact spot where you shechted the animal, there was already a hole in the esophagus, exactly where you shechted the animal, so it was already a trefa. Elav mishum damrin zil basaruba. So it must be that we assume rov animals don't have a hole right there, and you can follow the rov. Am ravashi, am risal shmeit kamed rav kana, v'amila rav kana kamed rav simi, v'amila v'amar lei. He said, when I said this teaching over in the name in front of rav kana, who said it in front of rav simi, he said back to him, maybe that's not a good raya, because maybe the only way you're allowed to follow Rov over there is because it's Efshar, because it's low Efshar. There's no other option but to follow Rov. The only way the Torah says you could do Shechita, v'zavachta v'yachalta. So by definition that relies on Rov. But how do I know you're allowed to rely on Rov even when it's not by definition the only way to do what it says in the Torah? How do I know that even when it's Efshar in other ways that you're still allowed to rely on Rov? Meaning, for instance, in the example, what do we start the whole daf with? How do I know that the kid is not going to grow up to be an islandist? Well, one way is wait. Don't let him do Yibum yet. Wait till he grows up. The girl is not going to be an islandist, or the boy is not going to be a Sris. Let them grow up and see if they turn out to be an islandist or a Sris. So that's a case of Efshar. You can be Mavarit by just being patient. So maybe this whole idea that you follow Rov is only when it's low Efshar, when you have no other option. Because if you don't say that, the Rameir, the Chayish Lemuta, Hachinami Dolachal Bisra. Because then Rameir is Choshish for a Miyot, who holds that you don't follow Rov. Why, you think Rameir is going to say that you're not allowed to eat meat? Because every single time you shech an animal, you have to be choshesh that there was already a hole in that spot of the animal that you shechted. That's ridiculous. Obviously, Rav Meir holds that when you have no other option, you're not going to be choshesh for the meat. So just like Rav Meir holds that you're not going to be choshesh for the meat, maybe we would hold that you wouldn't follow Rov in any other situation. And if you can say, yeah, who says Rav Meir says you're allowed to eat meat? Maybe Rav Meir holds everyone has to be a vegetarian. Well, Pesach v'kachim ha'ikol meimor. What about when there's a mitzvah to eat meat? Like from Pesach and by kachim. So obviously Rav Meir is assuming that when are we choshesh lemiuta? When we have other options. But when we don't have any other options, so you can't be choshesh lemiuta. So maybe the same is true when it comes to the din of Rov. Important Tosfos over here, just to point out, the Gemara said that maybe B'makom Saif Nekev Hava, the Tosus points out, Ein lahakshos mishkafs l'kon shed biu b'nahar. The Efshar Basar Achim admitted the case, says, well, wait a second, maybe we're talking about a case that he drowned him, and therefore you can check, meaning maybe the only case of murder that you're actually going to be chayiv for is where you murdered the guy without leaving any open wounds, where you actually can check if he was a treifa. So he says, don't ask that question, because the Pasuk says, b'feresh b'kliyetz b'kli barzel v'evet. You kill him with a blunt instrument by force, with impact, not by drowning him. However, he says, maybe the situation was that you saw the spot that they were in the middle of brain surgery, and you saw the Krom Shel Moach was perfectly intact, and then you see the surgeon take an instrument and, you know, and puncture it right there. So you know that it wasn't, that there wasn't a hole there, because you saw it with your own eyes. So he says, V'yesh lomar, didochukhu lahamun ha-pasuk pekach. That's the situation that the Torah was talking about, that you kill a murderer only when you're in the middle of brain surgery and a guy punched. Very, very hard to say. The rest of the Torah is also important, okay, but we're out of time, so we'll stop there.